This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our guys are real confident. I think they've been that way for a while. You know, it took us a while to earn that. The way this year started out, we went into the year confident, had some rough patches, but we've believed in our team for a while, and we've always felt we could play with anyone, and we've been doing that at some times, especially this last month or so, but we feel real good about ourselves, and we're up for this challenge this week.
You're listening to BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, with Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth from BetQL.
Welcome back. BetQL Daily presented, as always, by FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth with you on a Wednesday as we look forward to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. The voice there of Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the 49ers, speaking about confidence as they head to Lambeau Field on Saturday night. Let's bring on our guest on the Roman guest line, talk about that game and all four games this weekend. Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus, is with us on the Roman guest line. Eric, welcome back to the show. We just heard from Kyle Shanahan there, the confidence he has in his team. They're the biggest underdog this weekend. I'm curious your perspective on the quarterback situation for the Niners. You know, Jimmy G is still banged up there. You know, if he's fine, I do think they could play with Green Bay. But if he's limited, it's going to be an issue there. What do you think about the Niners heading into this weekend with some momentum, but banged up against the Packers?
Yeah, it was weird when the number opened Sunday. It was or even Sunday morning, Saturday night. It was like 4.5. And I think a lot of people understandably took Green Bay, just thinking about, the healthy, nature of Green Bay, getting back, Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander, also Za'Darius Smith. With San Francisco, they got a little bit lucky with Fred Warner's going to be able to play. Nick Bosa is likely to play. Jimmy Garoppolo, though, with that thumb injury, you wonder, easy to throw the ball, possibly with a thumb injury, in, Los Angeles' SoFi Stadium, as well as Dallas' Jerry World, but in Lambeau Field, how easy is it going to be there? So that number's moved out to 6. I think 6 is probably right where it should be. To me, I think that San Francisco is going to have to run the football better than they did against Dallas. They're going to have to, sort of hope that Green Bay's defense, which was pretty good most of the season, but kind of got soft later in the year, stays that way post-bye.
Eric, some disagreement in the sports betting world on the value of Garoppolo versus Lance. Where do you stand on this? If we were to somehow get word that, Trey Lance is going to play at Lambeau, his second career road start against Aaron Rodgers, how far could this number get?
I mean, if they go with Lance, the guy who has started 3 games in the last 2 seasons combined, including 1 FCS game, it probably gets out to 7. I don't think that the betting world thinks that highly of Garoppolo, even though, he's been a pretty good player in terms of, executing that offense. But I think that the line movement that, we sort of want to look at as far as how valuable Garoppolo is probably from that 4.5 to 7, not necessarily where it is now at 6, where I think a lot of people are baking in a less than 100% Jimmy G, into that current number of 6. I don't think if it's announced that Lance is playing, it's going to move all that much more.
The first game of the weekend, Bengals at Titans. Titans 3.5-point favorites. I saw you tweeted, Eric, or retweeted the Vrabel and the Titans on 8-plus days of rest. Vrabel and the Titans straight up and ATS 8-0. Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, going against that even, I think, so this number opened around 3, and, a lot of my colleagues and I went to the game against the Raiders. We all started asking each other, well, what should the number be? And I think we all landed on 3.5. So I think the movement towards 3.5 is supported, by I think a lot of the statistics and the narratives and what you're talking about, with the 1 seed being valuable, the bye being valuable, guys like Larry Ogunjobi being out for the Bengals, their defensive line being banged up against Derrick Henry. I think all of those are why you're getting, you know, with the Bengals more than a field goal here, and probably should be. But I think now that you've crossed three, you know, one has to take a look at the quarterback matchup in this game. And I think it's unmistakable that the way Joe Burrow is playing right now probably offers a better option at the position than Ryan Tannehill, who has been up and down this year. You know, and Todd Downing, the play caller for the Titans, hasn't necessarily been, you know, the best this year. So it's an interesting one. I think the Titans have been slept on most of the season, and people aren't properly pricing in the bye when you look at the fact that they're the third favorites in the AFC, you know, market to make it out. But I think in this particular game, now that the number's out to 3.5, you have to take a look at Joe Burrow.
Eric, the Rams 3-point underdogs in Tampa Bay on Sunday. We saw this matchup earlier this season in L.A. The Rams won it and pretty convincingly over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now we're seeing it again. Rams, impressive Monday night. Bucks, that game was over pretty early against the Eagles, so they had some more injuries in that game. I'm a little worried about Tampa Bay's offensive line here. When Tristan Wirfs went down on Sunday, the game was over. It didn't matter against the Eagles, but there was a lot of pressure on Tom Brady, and that Eagles front isn't as good as the Rams front. What do you think of this matchup and the Wirfs injury? Could that lead to an upset here?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I mean, in week three, Tampa Bay was favored by 1.5 points in L.A., and I know Los Angeles doesn't necessarily have the best home field advantage in the world, but, you know, that would imply a bigger spread here for Tampa if the two teams had sort of stayed equally power rated. I know that the Bucs have lost a lot of players throughout the season, but so have the Rams. I mean, they lost Robert Woods, one of their best players. And defensively, they're not, you know, I think defensively, you know, they lost Jordan Fuller, for example, at safety. So this number is kind of curious to me. In fact, it's probably going to be more of a 2.5 by the time it's all said and done. If you look at Pinnacle, for example, Bucks minus 3 is plus 103. I agree with you that, you know, the 3 sacks on third down, the 4 sacks overall for Philadelphia during that game was troublesome, but I'm going to give Brady the benefit of the doubt, a guy who's always protected his offensive line, with a week to know that he's going to have to be sort of on his best behavior in the pocket. I think he'll do a decent job mitigating some of the issues they have should Wirfs Ryan Jensen be limited or out in this game. And then it comes down to Stafford. And, you know, you look at Monday night's game, they didn't really have to lean on Stafford much, and they protected him, and he did a really good job throwing the football. When they've had to sort of rely on him to throw the ball a lot, I mean, he led the league in interceptions. So, you know, that I think is a little bit, you know, we take a broader look at this thing, and it's not just about how the teams played last week.
This is BetQL Daily. Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, Aaron Hawksworth. Our guest, Eric Eager at PFF_Eric. Check out the PFF Forecast podcast. And Eric, before we get to your favorite game of the week as a big Chiefs fan, something we were just talking about in our last segment, want to get your thought on it. The head coach quarterback combo that you trust the most. It felt like Reed and Mahomes going number one felt like the easiest pick. And then it got really tricky 2 through 4. If we're going Mahomes, Reed, number one, where would you go to? And of the 8 teams alive, who's last?
Oh, that's a great question. I think LaFleur is one of the most underrated entities in all of football. I know that people are going to say, well, you know, he inherited Aaron Rodgers. That Packers team that he inherited had 2 straight losing seasons before he came on and won 13 games, 3 straight years. Rodgers is playing at the top of his game right now for the last 2 years, basically. LaFleur has done a great job sort of ignoring a lot of the noise that happened in the offseason and just puts a winning team on the field every single year. So to me, I think it's those two guys. And then after that, I think it's probably, and this is less about Arians than it is about Brady, but I think it's like Brady, Arians, and then probably Stafford, McVay, as much as it kills me, and then McDermott, Allen. Joe Burrow more than Zach Taylor, but then Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor, Jimmy G, Kyle Shanahan, and so I guess at last would be Vrabel, Tannehill. But I think that speaks to the sort of strength of this entire weekend, in that last weekend there were a lot of duds, right? I think, you know, all 8 teams that are left in the NFL playoffs now are good football teams with good head coaches and decent quarterbacks at least.
Well, let's talk about Bills at Chiefs, the Sunday night game. Tightest spread, Chiefs favored -1.5. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, this is one I think it's going to trend towards two, maybe even 1.5. You know, in fact, you know, the Bills are taking money here. I'm not necessarily enough to get this thing to a pick 'em, but yeah, it's a tricky one. I think if you get Buffalo's best game, you know, they're probably going to beat the Chiefs. I think if you get both teams' average game, I think the Chiefs win. And I think the worst version of both teams, I think Kansas City's a little bit better than that. I think the Bills are very high variance. You know, we're talking about a team that lost to Jacksonville in the middle of the season. And even 2 weeks ago, I mean, 3 weeks ago, they were down at halftime at home to the Falcons. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, they were only up 13-10 in the waning minutes of a game against the Jets. They ended up covering that game. They did the same thing against the Dolphins at home as well this year. But this is a Buffalo team that's very uneven, the quarterback very uneven, you know, the highs are very high for that team. And I think if you catch them on a great day, they can beat the Chiefs. But to me, you know, I think we're a little bit underselling Mahomes and Reed. And, you know, to me, if anything, I don't, my model doesn't show value on this game, but if anything, I think you have to go with the team that's made or hosted three straight AFC title games, ATS in this one.
Eric, when you look at games that we see rematches of when we enter the postseason, how much do you factor that in what we saw in the regular season? We were diving in yesterday for the box score of that Bills-Chiefs game from earlier in the year. Bills won that game pretty handily in Kansas City. And a couple of things stood out. One, Allen had a great game, so it was great Josh Allen. But also four turnovers by the Chiefs. And it's just hard for me to, you know, imagine that we get that kind of performance from Kansas City again. Buffalo could win, but it felt like that was a perfect storm for Buffalo that night. Great Allen and a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, but a lot of guys out for the Chiefs. Trevarius Ward was the starting corner for them who was out. L'Jarius Sneed had to play Ward's spot, and he gave up 5 of 6 into his coverage and a perfect passer rating that day. Sneed has come on and been a much better player down the stretch for the Chiefs. No Chris Jones, who is probably their best defensive player. Frank Clark got 5 pressures in that game. No other Chief in that game got more than 1 pressure. So I think, you know, and Daniel Sorensen was a starter then. Now he's a reserve. I think he was exposed quite a bit in that game. So, you know, I think for the Chiefs, you really just want their expected defense. You know, no big plays, you know, make your tackles. They don't have to give up 10 points or 17 points or be brilliant in any way. But they just have to be, you know, sort of get on the green defensively. And then as an offense, yeah, just don't turn the ball over 4 times. They had a turnover in the kicking game as well. They also had a penalty on Frank Clark on a roughing the passer that negated an interception. So, you know, even though Buffalo, I do think, dominated that game, it was much closer than I think the final score indicated.
Eric, any totals or teasers that you like for the weekend?
Yeah, you know, so the people are going to want to tease Buffalo, you know, out to 8, 8.5, depending upon where you are. I would be careful about that because the total on that game is 55. I think there's going to be more variance than people believe. To me, I do like over in Cincinnati, Tennessee, just because of what I talked about with the defense for the Bengals, but also the defense for the Titans. You know, I think the three wide receivers for the Bengals are going to be a mismatch for that secondary. I remember they are without Caleb Farley, their top pick at corner, and have been for months.
Any props that you have your eye on for the weekend?
I have not dug into props, but I will say, every single week I'll auto bet Mahomes over 2.5 touchdowns, and you're mm-hmm. still getting plus prices on that. He got that in 1 quarter against Pittsburgh, you know. So that one's one as well. I think with you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're also going to get Brady. I can see Brady sort of having that motivation as well. With that one. So, you know, over 2.5 touchdowns in that game. I haven't seen where the prices are yet for those, but those are ones that I'm obviously going to be first to look at, you know, as well. And, you know, I think the Bucks-Rams game also goes over. I think that, you know, 48 is a little bit low there. You're underneath that key number of 49. And you know, I think both offenses are going to play well. And, you know, the Bucks will find a way without their offensive line to still produce points.
Great stuff. Eric, we always appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be reading and listening over Pro Football Focus. That was Eric Eager on the Roma Guest Line. Get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for EDL from the comfort and privacy of your home. Go to GetRoman.com/BetQL now to get $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/BetQL. It's interesting, that matchup between the Bengals passing attack and the weakness that the Titans have in the back of their defense continues to come up on this show. And the reason I find it fascinating is because the advantage the Titans have up front, like what wins? Can they give Burrow a little bit of time to get the ball down the field? If they do, the Bengals can win that game. I just don't know if they can give him the time with their offensive line versus Titans' defensive line. That's the game.
Also curious, the Tennessee secondary is viewed as weakness, more so on the corners.
Right.
They have great safety play.
Meyer's great.
Great safety play.
Yeah,
I mean, he's viewed as the number one safety in the game right now. But as you look at these matchups, and we talked about all the quarterbacks and the head coaches going at it, feels like there could be a lot more scoring. A lot more scoring this weekend. And we only have one total into the 50s. Obviously, the last one of the week with KC and Buffalo. In that 47-48 range with these others.
You also worry less, I think, about any of these teams having a bad, bad day and getting boat raced out like the Cardinals did, the Eagles did, overwhelmed. Maybe the Bengals, but I doubt it because of Burrow, and they won already a game last week.
Right.
But
run clock,
Bills,
yeah.
Right,
you're not
the Bills
see that.
Are not going to get embarrassed. Like even if they lose, they'll play and they'll put up a fight. So, yeah, I think it leads to better games and probably, like you said, Joe, higher totals. We'll talk some props coming up next hour. We'll dive into giving props from BetQL and give you our thoughts on where to go with all of the props for this weekend. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth, BetQL Daily, presented as always by FanDuel Sportsbook.
These Joes are helping you bet like a pro. It's Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio and Aaron Hawksworth on BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.